Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God.
It's time for the Holy Manna radio broadcast with Brother Byron Chesney, pastor at Highland Baptist Church. For the next few minutes, Brother Byron will be bringing you some truths from God's holy word. So have your Bible ready and follow along with Brother Byron.
If you have your copy of God's Word, I'd like for you to turn to the book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk, that's in your Old Testament toward the end of it. After Nahum, you have Habakkuk. And when you get there, if you're able to stand, I'd like to ask you to stand for the reading of God's Word. Habakkuk chapter 2. We're going to read verse 1. Habakkuk 2 and verse 1. And here the Bible says, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. Heavenly Father, thank you, God, for the sweet spirit we felt here today. Lord, I'm asking now that you anoint me for just a few minutes, Lord, to be able to expound upon this text. God, that you be glorified and magnified and exalted in everything that's said and done. Lord, that you keep me out of the way this morning. Lord, let you preach through me. And Lord, may your word go out and do a mighty work in the hearts of those that are listening. And Lord, we want to give you right now thanks and glory for everything. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. Well, this morning we're looking here at this tiny little often overlooked and forgotten book of the Bible, Habakkuk. I heard a lot of pages turning there trying to find it. It's difficult to find. It's one that you don't really study a lot in. You don't hear many messages preached out of it. I dare say I've ever heard a Sunday school lesson out of the book of Habakkuk. But it's a very wonderful book, and it teaches us great truths. Every book of the Bible, despite what some people may tell you, has Jesus in it, including this book. Jesus is all in the book of Habakkuk and the prophecy that he delivers here. And what we find in this book, we find kind of three different things. We find him in chapter 1. In the very beginning of it, we didn't read it, but in chapter 1, verse 1, Habakkuk says, or it says, the burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. A burden is a vision. But any time you see the word burden used for the word vision, it means a very heavy and burdensome vision. Something God has placed upon the prophet's knowing or understanding that's going to happen in the future that has burdened them down badly. And so therefore they call it a burden instead of just a plain vision. It's very burdensome. As at this point that we're looking at today, the northern kingdom of Israel has already been taken into captivity over 100 years before this. The Assyrians, which was the dominant world empire at the time, had taken them captive. And so they were gone, those tribes up north. But the two tribes down in the south, the southern kingdom that was called Judah, are still here. God has gave them grace and has allowed them now to stay without being taken into captivity. But it was all hinging upon something. You see, God had told them that if they would straighten up their wicked ways, they would turn from their worshiping of idols and turn to Him and worship Him and Him alone and get all this other garbage out of their lives and repent, that He would not have this happen. He would not have them go into captivity. I mean, He warned them for over 100 years. He sent prophet after prophet in there to tell them about this. I mean, we know Isaiah and Jeremiah and here are Habakkuk and several of these prophets of Judah. Habakkuk, we don't know a lot about him except for what we read in this one book. We do know he must have been a contemporary, though, of Jeremiah. It's believed that he was prophesying there in the days of Josiah, King Josiah, the last good king of Judah. And that he had this heavy burden, this vision that God had given him of the captivity of the people, of the enemy coming in. Now, at this point, the Assyrians were no longer the dominant empire in the world. It was the Babylonians, the Chaldeans. They were Chaldee. They spoke in Chaldee. But they were Babylonish, and they were very, very brutal, led by King Nebuchadnezzar, one of the most bloodthirsty and brutal tyrants you've ever seen in your life. And now he was the man in charge. And they had their sights on dominating the entire world. And they had the land of Israel, Judah, Jerusalem. They had all that in their sights. That's who they were coming for. Now, we do know, if you were here during our Jeremiah Bible studies, God is the one that orchestrated this whole thing. He's the one that actually cause the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, to come in and take them captive. He did this as their punishment. And he told them that he would do this. But if they would repent, none of this would have happened. And so Habakkuk now has given this heavy burden, this vision of what God's going to do to his land and his people. And it has really made him sick. I mean, he is down. He's just like Jeremiah was. You remember Jeremiah at one point, he had preached and he had warned the people and they were all ignoring him and they wanted to kill him and they tried to kill him. Many things they had done to Jeremiah, and he finally one day said, I'm not going to preach anymore. I give up. I just can't do it anymore. But he couldn't do that for very long. He said that there was a fire burning down in his bones. And he couldn't help but preach. And so he kept going. And he preached for over 40 years in that land. People never did listen to him. They never did pay him any attention. They never did do what he said to do. But yet he was still faithful to God and kept on preaching the truth. Well, here we have another good prophet, Habakkuk. And he has got this heavy burden on his heart. And I mean, it's got him so down. In fact, in chapter 1, he starts complaining to the Lord about it. Like Jeremiah did. You know, complaining. Lord, I don't understand this. And you're not listening to me, Lord. You're not listening to my prayers. God, I don't understand why you're going to allow all this to happen. This is your people. Are you going to really let this bloodthirsty and brutal people come in and invade your land? Because the people of Israel are much better than those people. And so Habakkuk was just really, he didn't understand. He was bewildered on this. And he said this over in Habakkuk 1, 2 through 4. He said, "Oh Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear?" You see, he's been pleading and praying with the Lord to hear him and listen to him and give him direction and show him that this is not going to happen after all. And he says, "Lord, you're not hearing me. How long do I have to cry about it?" He said, "Even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save. Why dost thou show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slacked, and the judgment doth never go forth. For the wicked doth compass about the righteous, therefore wrong judgment proceedeth." You see, he just couldn't understand God's working here and this vision he'd given to God. Surely this is not what you're going to let happen. I mean, it just don't make sense to me. God, listen to me, please. And so he's complaining to God. And then in verses 5 through 11, I'm not going to read them, but the Lord answers him and tells him about the severity that this foreign country is going to come and bring the land of Judah. I mean, it's going to be bad, and he don't hold anything back. He's like, "Look, Habakkuk, it is going to get really bad, and I'm not going to withhold from this." And so Habakkuk complains yet again in verses 12 through 17 of chapter 1 about the despair that's going to come upon the land. And he's questioning the Lord about it. And he's like, "Why, God, are you going to allow all this to happen?" I mean, it's like Jeremiah was saying, but the truth is, we're all like Habakkuk and Jeremiah. When things happen and we start questioning God and it seems like we're not getting any answers and we start complaining, you know, and some people say, "Oh, y'all not do that." Listen to me, friends. The Bible says that God is our Father. We are His children. If you're saved today, you're one of God's children. Do you not think for one second that God doesn't want to hear your prayers? Do you think that God don't want to hear what you have concerns about? Certainly He does. If you're children, if you're a parent today, you know your children, when they've got a problem and they're distraught and there's something going on in their life, you want to hear about it. And you want to hear them voice their opinions and what's going on, because you're concerned. You care for them. The Bible says to cast all your cares on Him, for He careth for you. Listen, friends, God loves you. And He wants to hear from you. Don't ever think you can hold things back. He already knows anyway. Even if you don't say it with your mouth, He already knows your heart and your mind anyway. So you might as well go ahead and say it. Habakkuk's just going out and saying it and rearing back and say, "Lord, I don't understand this. God, listen to me. You're not listening. I'm not getting any feedback from you. I need some help here." But we get like that. We have major despair and things in our life that happen, and we feel helpless and hopeless and like there's just no answers out there, even though we've been praying about it. And we're like, "God's just not listening to me." I know some people that their children have not been saved, and they're adults now. And they're so concerned about them and sick over it. And they've been praying for years. And eventually you get to a point of, "Is God not listening to me? Does He not want my children to be saved? I know He wants them to be saved. Why am I not getting any answers? How come they're not receiving Christ? Why do they not?" And so we get all tore up inside. And we start getting, sometimes we get angry. Sometimes we do. I remember when my sister had leukemia, and I mean, I got very angry. I really did. Because she lived a life for the Lord. She was doing everything. I mean, my sister was, most of y'all didn't know her. She passed away. She was only 30-something years old. And she passed away from leukemia. She had two children and had everything in life going for her. And she was working for the Lord and doing all these things. And she got leukemia and she passed away. And even going through blood transfusions. And she went through all that down at Vanderbilt. And it was rejected and everything else. And I mean, she went through a year and a half of total misery in her life. And I started getting very bitter. And I started questioning God. And I'm like, God, I don't understand this. I know people today that are living their lives like the devil out there. And they've got perfect health. And God, it don't make sense to me. Can you help me? And I remember going to the emergency room when my sister passed away. I didn't get there in time while she was still alive. They called me and said that you need to come. And I came to the emergency room. It was out at St. Mary's. And I walked back there. And it was like one of those movies where everything's in slow motion. You know, and you're walking through. And it's like you see people's mouths moving. But it's like it's not even real. And I go back there. And there's my mother and my father and a doctor. And they're all standing around my sister. And she's dead. And my parents look like they're 100 years old. And the doctor's standing there and he's just talking so matter-of-factly, like there was no compassion in him at all. He was just stating the facts. And he starts saying, that, you know, this is what happened. And then she quit breathing and all this. And I remember standing in that emergency room, seeing my sister there. And I saw my parents as they were hanging on to that last little bit of whatever they had left in them. And they were so down. And I remember thinking, God, I'm so mad. Why in the world did you let this happen to her? And listen, some people say, now, Brother Byron, you need to be careful. Listen, He's my Heavenly Father. He understands when we're going through such despair and such depression and being downcast. He knows that we're just flesh and bone and human. And He understands. And I believe He wants to hear us talk to Him just like we would talk to our own parents. I would hate to think that I would tell my children not to ever tell me anything that's going on with them. Listen, God understands and He loves you. There's not a person in this building today that's not went through something horrible in their life. I can guarantee. I could go through and ask every one of you. And every one of you have at least one, if not several, tragic things that's happened in your life that you had no idea what to do about. That you were so bewildered and confused and didn't understand. I know that for a fact. Several of those cases have been in my life. And so we all are on the same level here. It's not like one of us is more righteous, one's more holy, one can take it better. No, friends, we're all on the same level. We all have the same Father. We're all children of His, and He wants to hear from you. And He wants to understand, and He wants to help you. He cares. Habakkuk is crying out to the Lord, and he don't understand. Why, Lord? What have we done to deserve this awful thing that's happening? And listen, he understands, and he gives comfort. Habakkuk was not crying out in what we would call anger of wanting to refuse God or anything like that. He's just crying out in distress like we do when things are out of our hands. Don't you hate it when things are out of your hands? When you can't do a thing about it? You know, usually things that you can handle, you don't get quite as tore up about. You think, well, I think I can fix that either with money or with something I know how to do, or I know somebody that can fix this. But when it comes down to that thing that there ain't nothing anybody on this earth can do, it's all in God's hands. It's out of your hands. I mean, that is one of the most frustrating times in your life. It's because you don't know what you're going to do. But despite Habakkuk's complaining and the burden of this vision, he is still faithful to God.
We pray that this has been a blessing to you. If you feel led to help us with the cost of the broadcast, our address is Highland Baptist Church, 6014 Babelay Road, Knoxville, Tennessee, 37924. Until next time, may the Lord richly bless you.